Well, hello and welcome everybody to the podcast. Once again, we are coming to you live from the great state of Arizona today as we continue our tour across America for the Stephen Sean album release that we've been on over the past little bit. And today we are coming to you from Tucson. And this tour has been an interesting time because for us, it has been a little different because this season has been a little bit more about sharing the songs and the reason why we wrote the songs and talking about some of the stories of what it is that we've been through and a little bit of a less focus on getting other people to participate in singing. So while that's been a little different for us this trip, I thought it would maybe be interesting to talk about the different reasons why you have music in church. Now, a lot of people will just refer to any music that you have in church as being worship. So their definition is worship equals any music that you have in church. So now, biblically, that's not a very good definition because the Bible has a lot to say about the difference between praise and worship, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. But there is a place for all kinds of different purposes, really, for music in a church service on any given Sunday or in other times that you would have any kind of gathering. And so what happens is that if you lump it all together and you just say that all of those purposes are called worship, well, you'll probably be a little inaccurate biblically in some of those things, but you may also end up working against yourself or having unrealistic expectations. So let's talk about some of the reasons why you would have the different kinds of music that you would in a church service. You know, for a lot of churches, they are looking for the music to be the thing that gathers the people. So if you were taking notes, you would write, gather people. Now, I would say that that is becoming less effective simply because life tends to have background music and you playing music isn't something new. It's kind of become a regular thing. So a lot of churches will start with music and they're hoping by the third or fourth song that everybody will come in from the foyer, everybody will arrive and stop talking to each other and be ready to focus on whatever it is that's the rest of the service. Which can be pretty frustrating to a lot of worship leaders, especially if they're trying to get people to participate and have some sort of spiritual, you know, encounter at that moment where other people are just trying to get in the door and finish up their donut. So certainly if gathering is your purpose, then make sure you know that's what your purpose is, and then you can judge whether or not it's effective. The next thing would be then worship, which I would say is getting people to express their heart to the Lord, and really that can be done in singing, and as you look through the Bible, that can be done in other ways, but you're trying to get other people to express their heart. And that's a really big key about worship that differs from some of the other aspects, which is you're trying to get them to express their heart, not necessarily just have you express their heart. And then depending on your definition of praise or difference between praise and worship, praise is offering thanks to the Lord, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks into his name. And so there is a place where you can just express thankfulness to the Lord for whatever it is that you're doing. Now, a big shift comes for a lot of people when they enter into the special music category. And one of the jokes that pastors like to joke about and say that the special music is usually neither. And by that, they mean it's neither special, nor is it necessarily good music. And so what can happen a lot of times is that it ends up being a show and tell, or people just don't know how to take it or how to receive it because they don't know why it is that we're doing those things. And one thing you've heard me say before, and that's because I've heard it from one of my mentors, is said, if the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. And of all the music that we do in church, the special music seems to be the one that kind of gets abused the most because we don't really know why we're doing it. So you have to know what it is that you're looking for when you're going to do those things. Why do you have a bell choir? Why is the choir singing something? Why is, you know, I got up there and played my saxophone one time when I was in middle school. Well, why did I do that? And what are we hoping to achieve in that moment? And for some churches, it's just, hey, we want to be a place where we foster music creativity. We want to give lessons to people, and this is an outlet for them. Well, hey, great. Now you know your purpose. And just take a moment before that starts and say a one-sentence explanation of, hey, we love to foster music in this church. We have this group here. We'd love to have them play something for you just to know what people in the congregation are doing. Okay, that was maybe two sentences, but took, you know, 10, 15 seconds, and then people know what it is that you're doing. But more than that, what can happen is when something is anointed. And the idea of anointing is that from an Old Testament, the anointing was oil and they would pour it on top of the person. And so it would go on their head and then it would go all over them. And it was kind of this picture of God coming upon a person or something. And what we're looking for when it is that we sing a special or we're presenting something is that we're hoping that there will be a tangible feeling that God is there and that he's saying yes, or he'd be speaking to you about what it is that's in the song. So that's the kind of thing that you can really have an anointed, amazing, special music, but you're not necessarily getting other people to participate. You're not necessarily getting them to express their heart. You're trying to have them hear your message, and hopefully that does connect and that the Lord puts his anointing on it, and you can tell, okay, wow, that was for me today, or I really felt like the Lord was here. Which is a big deal for us because we don't necessarily enjoy just singing our music for other people or want your applause. We want you to have an encounter with the Lord. And so this has been a little different because it's a little different vein of ministry, whereas normally I would just sing whatever song you know and get you to participate. Now I'm having you not participate and just listen. It's a very different approach to getting connected to the Lord. So one of the things that we do to try and help people is just give them some direction. So at the beginning, we just say, hey, we're not necessarily looking for you to participate today in the sense of trying to sing and test how quickly you can learn a new song. We're looking for you to capture the message, that the idea of what it is that's coming behind these songs and their writing, the words that we're saying, will somehow have an impact in your heart rather than you being distracted by trying to sing or learn the song quickly. So that little bit of direction puts people at ease because they know that they're not trying to sing or catch the words or have to take a test here in a moment to see if they know it. They're just listening for the purpose of what it is. And then hopefully the Lord will then be speaking to them about what it is that we're saying. We also mix in a few moments where we do want them to participate, and we tell them, we say, hey, when the words come up on the screen, that means we'd like you to participate. And usually when we start that section, we just say, hey, come on, sing this with us. And we sing something that they would know in a style that they would like. And then at that point, we are leading them to worship, which really brings us to one phrase that we use a lot, which is with purpose, on purpose. And so everything that you do, you want to know why it is that you're doing it, and then you're able to communicate that quickly and succinctly so that way people can be led and will follow you more easily. There's a couple more areas that music can be used in a service that I want to touch on today, and one of them would be setting up the message. And that's not necessarily a bad thing because it really can, you know, help people get in the right place to receive the word. And depending on your gifting, and if you're a teacher, kind of like we've talked in some previous episodes about how you see the world through your gifting, if you're a teacher, you see the purpose of the music as being a means to help set up the message because the message is the most important part of the service. And again, that's not a bad thing, and it can be very effective, but you want to know that that's what the purpose is ahead of time, so that way you're not trying to lead people off, or you can just say, hey, this is a song that's going to be about what pastor's talking about today. So if you can sing along, that's great, but don't worry about it because we really want you just to hear the message of this song. Well, great. Now people are focused on the right thing instead of trying to do something else. They're not necessarily trying to express their heart at the moment. They're trying to hear the message. Again, on purpose and with purpose, giving some leadership and direction to help people have success. One of the last areas we see music in church will be background music or mood music. You know, just playing some music as people walk in, or a lot of times people will want the worship team to play something during the meet and greet time, and then even at the end when people are being dismissed. And so that can be an effective use of music. One of the things I would encourage you to look at is who is providing that music, because one of the unintended side effects of having the worship team be that background music is that it trains people to ignore you. And so if you're playing out the service, which is a common phrase, quote unquote, playing out the service, well, now all of a sudden where people were supposed to be paying attention to you, now they can ignore you. Now they're supposed to be talking to each other. And a lot of times the end of the service looks a whole lot like the beginning of service. And worship leaders get frustrated because, hey, they're not paying attention. They're not participating. But then at the end of the service, they're doing the exact same behavior. And we're like, oh, yeah, that's normal. And the reason is we have trained them to ignore us. So I would encourage you to take all of that need for background music and use recordings. And that just makes it to where when you're up there, people know to pay attention to you. When you're not up there or not playing, you know, hey, this is the time that we can talk to each other. We're not supposed to be doing something in specific. So again, people just need help. They need some leadership. And that's a small thing that you can do to really help yourself have people see you as a leader and have people know what it is that they're supposed to be doing when they're in the service, because it can be confusing. And like I said before, everybody thinks that worship is music in church and you're trying to get them to experience something. But if it's all mixed up, it may be hard for them to understand. Well, if you have any questions about any of that or something else, give us an email at musicandministryconference@gmail.com, or you can check out our growing list of resources at musicandministry.co. Well, we hope you join us again next week. And until then, God bless.